marriage was strongly urged in the Old Testament on the men. Proverbs tells men, find joy with the wife you married in your youth. Why be seduced, my son, by an alien woman? We need to hear this. I repeat, the sixth commandment, as we shall see in our next conference, rises to sublime heights that were never even conceived in the old law. It was therefore not until the coming of Christ that polygamy and remarriage after divorce was forbidden absolutely. See why I said Protestantism is Old Testament Christianity? There is not a single one of the 2,100 Protestant denominations of the world, not one, that forbids marriage after divorce. That is not Christianity. To this day, Judaism recognizes a man's and woman's right to divorce and remarriage. Two Jewish people that I am currently instructing in the faith in New York by correspondence, telephone, and a well-instructed lay Catholic, you might say, substituting for myself, both, please God, will become Catholics. The woman is sure she wants to be a Catholic, but she's already been married 3 times. And he only twice. Let's make this clear. We are not Jews. Christianity is not Judaism. Seventh commandment. You shall not steal. Every form of robbery is covered by this commandment, and elaborate penalties are prescribed for thievery. Thus, whoever has acquired another person's property without his consent is regarded as a thief. And the normal penalty prescribed by Exodus for stealing was to pay double damages. Stealing of animals was more serious when the stolen beast is sold and slaughtered. The penalty then becomes fourfold or even fivefold for stolen oxen, which the owner needed for plowing his own field. When a convicted thief cannot pay, Jewish law required that he be sold into slavery, and his price, the price paid to the slaveholder, then went to the injured party. We need to hear this to better understand what Christ was teaching when he told how we are to repay what we have stolen from God. The Old Testament distinguishes between stealing and robbery, where the latter means taking another's property by force. Surprisingly, the punishment for robbery was more lenient than for theft. A popular Jewish explanation for this leniency was that a thief acted as if no heavenly eye saw what he was doing, whereas a robber steals openly. Eighth commandment. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. The immediate prohibition of this precept is lying in court or during a judicial process. But elsewhere in the Old Testament, telling the untruth in any circumstances is forbidden. Speak the truth to one another is a universal precept of the Old Testament. Prophets who announce false oracles are strongly condemned. The idols of the pagans are called lies because they are deceitful. Before we leave this eighth commandment, let me speak very frankly. One of the hardest of the Ten Commandments to observe is the eighth. As I've mentioned, I'm sure more than once, for 6 years before entering the Society of Jesus, I was on the stage. Among the plays that I took part in was one called Nothing But the Truth. The theme was the practical impossibility of telling the truth and nothing but the truth for 24 hours. My friends in Christ, you try to practice total honesty, sincerity, truthfulness, complete openness for 24 hours, and I promise you, it will be hard. I hope you believe me. Because we can tell lies not only in speech, but in the thousand ways in which human nature practices make believe. How tempted we are to dissemble, to not show our displeasure when someone is speaking unkindly of another. We can tell a lie with our bodies. We can tell lies with our eyes. Did you know that? That's why religious who do not wear their habits are walking lies. And priests walking the streets without clerical garb are walking lies. May I suggest that we all daily examine our conscience on how totally truthful our behavior has been in a given day. Ninth commandment. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. In its biblical context, this prohibition is only the first in a series of precepts which forbid any form of greed. Yet it is placed first because as lust, it is the source of so much sin. Even in its Hebrew setting, the ninth commandment pertains to controlling one's interior desires. Here, for what belongs to another as his property by marriage. What is with the sixth commandment? Only with the coming of Christ did this precept expand to all forms of internal sins against chastity. And as with the eighth commandment, to keep that unsullied even for 24 hours, to not just tell the truth, but look to truth, walk the truth, dress the truth, live the truth, is hard. So herewith chastity, to not only control one's bodily senses, but to control hour after hour, moment after moment, one's interior desires, remaining chaste in heart. Oh, I know, I know. It may take heroism, and you will not even get credit for your chastity, except from the God who sees your heart. Tenth and last commandment. You shall not set your heart on your neighbor's house, his servant, man or woman, his ox, his donkey, or anything else that is his. In Hebrew terms, to covet another person's property meant to deprive him of his God-given inheritance. All Jews were entitled to a share in what Yahweh gave his chosen people. By the time of the wisdom literature of the Old Testament, believers are not only forbidden to covet, but they are told to care for the needy and to trust in God's rewarding those who are generous in sharing what they have with others. Our closing paragraph. All the evidence indicates that as the inspired writers of the Old Testament drew closer to the dawn of Christianity, they went far beyond the prohibition to set one's heart on another person's possessions. Liberality became increasingly prominent in the moral teaching of the later books of the Old Law. A closing reflection and prayer. Most Holy Spirit, you inspire the writers of the Old Testament, and especially for our purpose, your servant Moses, to give us the Ten Commandments. Let us never, dear Holy Spirit, think that we have gone beyond the Ten Commandments, as though somehow we are now free to disregard the Decalogue. Most Holy Spirit of Wisdom, teach us to understand what it means to live up to the Ten Commandments you gave your chosen people before the time of Christ. Help us to understand and to live the Decalogue as you now teach your chosen people, the followers of Jesus Christ. We believe only those who keep the Ten Commandments on earth will enjoy the possession of God who gave the commandments in eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.